Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer. Let's get growing.
Hey, everyone. Have you been to the Organic Gardener Podcast website and signed up for our email list? If you go there, you will get my new PDF, 7 Awesome Ways to Find More Time in Your Garden. And it's just some tips that I've learned from listening to my amazing guests who are always sharing with us super effective ways to be a better gardener. So if you head over to the organicgardenerpodcast.com and enter your email, you'll get 7 awesome ways to find more time in your garden. You can also get a copy of our ebook of Organic Gardening Basics. And just all the show notes are there, all the links to our show. So, and I'll be sending out some Golden Seeds newsletters as I get them done. And of course, you'll get a special invitation to join the Organic Gardener Podcast Facebook community. Hope to see you there. Welcome to Organic Gardener Podcast. I am here on January 29th. So it's my 2-year anniversary, even though you're not going to hear this episode today. From when I launched, and I have a great guest here that I think people are going to be excited to hear from. He's a Montana guy like me. He lives in Bozeman, Montana, or at least that's where he is now, like I'm in Montana now. So, and he grows hops. So I read about him in the paper, or I think Mike might have found him on Facebook, but or he saw him in the paper. But anyway, so I was just interested, intrigued in his business. So I asked him to come on. So from Bozeman, Montana and Crooked Yard Hops, welcome Jake Tissell.
So thank welcome you. To Pleasure the show.
Oh, okay. Good. Well, we're glad you're here. So go ahead and tell listeners a little bit about yourself and how you got into the Crooked Yard Hops business.
Yeah, well, again, my name's Jake Tissell, and I grew up here in the Gallatin Valley, just south of Bozeman, Montana, on a small farm, kind of working for my dad. You know, he raised a lot of more traditional field crops. Growing up, we did malt barley, alfalfa, wheat, you know, kind of traditional field crops, stuff of that nature. And so when I got to college, you know, I've got 5 brothers and sisters. It was kind of like, well, you know, is the family farm going to sustain another 5 farmers? You know, we're going to kind of have to find some careers off the farm here. So I went into mechanical engineering in college, and it turns out that I hate that. So decided to try to get back to my roots a little bit and started doing research about high-value specialty crops, things that wouldn't require a lot of acreage, like the more traditional crops I was familiar with, things that didn't require, you know, millions of dollars worth of equipment and hundreds of acres, but something that I could do and kind of manage by myself that was still really valuable. So that was how I got involved in hops.
Nice. Well, cool. Well, that fits right in with my podcast. So I do kind of always like to start the show asking about your very first gardening experience, which sounds like it's going to be like you grew up on a farm, then it's been passed around. So maybe, you know, how old were you? Were you just grown into it, or what was the first thing you remember growing?
Yeah, I mean, definitely just the field crops. I mean, that was, we had gardens from time to time. You know, my parents had some raised beds in the back that we would grow, you know, some carrots and stuff in. My little brother was actually more passionate about it than I was. He'd go back there with a little jar full of seed and just kind of sprinkle around some wheat seeds and try and raise a little, you know, 10 by 10 little plot of wheat that you could, you know. So he was fired up about that. But yeah, I'm
does
mostly
he still garden?
Not really. No, he works at a machine shop now, so he's off the farm.
Okay. Sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt there.
No, it's fine. I'd say more my first like large scale gardening experience was the test yard that we built for the hops. Okay. Just in my backyard, we had kind of a, like an old dumping ground for a dairy. So it was really good soil. And we built our 1-acre test yard there, our hop test facility, with a bunch of different varieties, you know, a lot of hands-on, hand labor, on your knees in the dirt kind of stuff for that first acre. That's probably my first real gardening experience.
Okay. So then how did that go? Did you find some hops that were, like, better than others? And did you learn some big lessons there? Like, how'd that go?
Yeah, we learned a ton, mostly about, like, the different, like, how much the soil and the weather, the local climate matters to hops. They're extremely sensitive especially like their water needs. We really had to pay a lot of attention to all of the different water, the watering system that we had was completely revamped when we built our production facility. And mostly we built that 1 acre test yard off of just kind of things we'd researched on the internet without giving it a lot of critical thought. We just thought, oh, you know, if this worked for them, it'll work for us.
So.
But yeah, our climate's just so different, and kind of how we set things up was so different that a lot of it didn't really work.
So what things are you doing to adjust for our climate? Are you at, you're probably 4B like we are here, right? In Bozeman.
Yeah, so we've had to adjust mostly for just the way higher heat that we have around here.
In the summer.
Yeah, a lot of hop yards, especially like established hop yards, the fauna that kind of at the base of the plant at the crown shades the soil well enough that it doesn't get too hot. But when you have a startup hop yard, you've really got to be careful about the soil getting too hot. It'll actually cook the roots and kill the plant. So
Oh.
we had to plant a cover crop to shade the soil.
And what did you plant for your cover crop?
Just alfalfa, something that wouldn't deplete the nutrients
That's
and would
so
kind of shade.
interesting to shade the soil here in Montana. So like when do you plant your seeds? Like in April? Do you
So hops
plant
are
them?
actually,
Do you start with starts?
yeah, you can start one of two ways. You can start with either root cuttings, or you can start with what's called a crown. So like a it's a 1 year old plant basically, kind of a little
Oh,
root ball.
where do you get
We start.
those?
There's different greenhouses that can grow them. So there's a big greenhouse in Michigan that grows these crowns, but they're really expensive. So we bought just rhizome like rootstock and planted that.
Okay. And so like how many plants do you put in a, is it a 1 acre pot that you have now or you're bigger than that?
We have 7 acres going.
Oh, okay. So then how many plants do you grow in like 7 acres? Is that how it goes or by pounds of seed or like, well, I guess it's the rhizomes.
Yeah, so we planted 800 plants per acre, so we've got 3,200 plants going right now.
Wow. And then how much hops does that produce?
At max yield, that'll produce somewhere between 8 and 9,000 pounds of finished product.
Okay. So, all right. I have so many questions already. So you're planting 800 plants per acre. Do you put like 100 in 1 week and 100 in the next week? Or you plant all of them at the same time? Is that a perennial? Does that come back? I don't even like it is a perennial, right? Because like we've been trying to grow hops and we have like a little bit going over our fence. Is it right?
Yep, yeah, it's a perennial root that can live for up to 25 years if you take care of it.
Oh. So then they just kind of come up on their own each year.
Yep, every spring they'll start fresh. It dies back to the root actually every year. So you've got this huge vine that grows out of this base in the plant, and it grows all the way to the top of the trellis, and then if you don't cut it down to harvest it, it'll die. At the first freeze, it'll die all the way back to the root.
Oh, so then what do you do? Do you have to like, is that hard? Like, does it get like woven in through the thing and you have to like cut it and pull like root, or can you just yank the vines out? Or how do you put it away in the fall?
So the harvest process pretty much takes care of that.
Oh.
It grows up a piece of, so you've got a piece of cable running 15 feet in the air above the root. And then
Oh.
you run a piece of twine down from that cable to the root. And then what happens is the vine will wrap around that cable and it'll just twine itself and grow all the way to the top and bush out and get this big, really heavy, very like
Right.
huge, lots of green matter. It's 40 or so pounds of just vine and leaves.
Oh.
Yep, so once you've got that whole vine, then you cut that whole thing down at the base of the plant, and it's on that piece of twine, and that's what you hook up to the harvester to harvest it.
Oh. Okay.
So you're removing that every year.
Okay. So my next question's going to be about what do you do with your hops once you like, who do you sell it to? How did you find a market? Is there like a big market for hops? You were talking in the beginning about you research specialty crops.
Yeah, so the market, we'd initially had not planned on making this like a commercial business,
Oh.
we'd kind of thought, oh, hey, wouldn't it be cool to have a hop farm in our backyard, you know?
Oh.
So that was kind of how it started, was when we built that 1 acre test plot. It was just kind of a, hey, let's build this. We don't really know much about, the crop as a whole. Let's learn a little more about it. Let's talk to the brewers. Let's see if they're interested. And the market actually was kind of what dictated building that 6 acre expansion, was the brewer demand was huge. Every brewery we talked to was like, holy cow, Montana hops, like, can you do that commercially? How do we buy that, you know?
Okay, that's great to hear because I think that's how I found you. I was in a Facebook group and somebody asked that question and somebody was saying, "Nah, you can't do anything with hops." And because I had talked to Tim Nichols last year about it and he had said that there was a big market for it. And so I had to go research it to say something in the Facebook group, and that's where I found the newspaper article about you. So, are there regulations about being able to sell hops to different people? Because, like, one thing I found out last year, I worked in this restaurant during the summer, and like, they wouldn't even let me bring oregano from my garden in to serve to their customers. Like, they were like, "Oh, well, you would have to prove that you're a certified farm and all this." Like, are there regulations about hops?
So in Montana right now, there's kind of not, and in the US as a whole, it's a little bit gray. The only really, really strict regulations are in like pesticide and herbicide use. There's a certain growth stage of the plant where once the plant actually isn't producing hop cones for quite a while. It doesn't produce it actually until, kind of mid to late summer, it starts to produce the cones. It's at a stage called spurring. It produces all these little burrs, these little just pokey looking little balls at the tips of the vines, and those are actually what become the hop cones. But until that happens, there's really nothing you can do to the plant that is going to be transmitted to humans. But after it spurs, you can't use any more pesticides and herbicides. But on the same note, once you've harvested, the processed hop product is going to get put into a beer batch that's going to be boiled. So if there's, any fungus or, if there was some bacteria or anything like that kind of transmitted at any point, it's going to get boiled off anyways, and it's not actually going into a food product. So there's not really any strict requirements there.
Interesting. Okay. Harvesting hops isn't the easiest thing to do, right? And like now you did I see that you bought some new processor this year? You're gonna have the first hops processor in Montana?
Yeah, harvest is a huge pain in the
Oh,
butt.
it is? Okay.
That's honestly where probably 85 to 90% of the work is in the whole operation, is at harvest time.
Okay.
And yeah, we did buy a harvester, and it's the first mobile harvester in the state. There's a couple other harvesters. There's one in Kalispell right now, but it's like the size of a, huge truck, and it's bolted to the floor.
Oh.
And there's yeah, it's pretty cool. It was shipped over from Germany, but it's kind of old, and there's one in the Bitterroot Valley somewhere that's a little bit smaller.
Okay.
So yeah.
And I don't know. Just go ahead. You talk. I'll listen.
Oh, I was just going to talk about so our harvester, what we actually use that for is it can do about a plant a minute for picking.
Wow.
And it's mobile, so it's actually kind of going to turn into a resource that other hop yards, as they spring up. We've already talked to guys over in Livingston, some up in Manhattan, kind of just in our neck of the woods. But a lot of these little hop yards that are springing up, because before us there wasn't any of this equipment to do any of the harvest, to do any of the processing, any of it. None of that equipment was in the state.
Cool. Where'd you get your machine?
So we shipped our harvester over from New York. There's a startup out there that's kind of latching on to all these new hop yards springing up. And we got kind of version two of the machine. The first year, they built like five of them as kind of a prototype run, and then they received 70 pre-orders, just
Wow.
70 of these machines. So they built 70 of them this year, and we got one.
Nice. So what would you tell somebody if somebody's like never heard of growing hops and just like kind of wants to get into like a farming green job type of business? Like, do you have any advice for them about like how to start or what you know, like what you wouldn't do, a mistake you wouldn't want to make again, or something that you would encourage them, like do this research first, or I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best advice I could give is to start small, just start as small as possible. That way, you start small, fail small kind of thing. So if the plants aren't suited to your climate, if a specific variety isn't going to be good for your soil, there's so many unknowns kind of in Montana as a whole, and other parts of the country. The soil and the climate really dictate what you can grow. So starting small is really going to save you a lot of time.
Okay, so like, where do you even get hop seeds? Just like from like Johnny's, like a catalog, or the rhizomes, you
Yeah,
said,
the
right?
rhizomes. So there's a lot of rhizome suppliers on the internet. We
Okay.
got ours from kind of a bulk supplier called Fresh Hops out in Oregon. They're a huge hop farm that produces rhizomes commercially. But there's a lot of really small kind of mom and pop. Some guy in his backyard, he'll go dig you up a rhizome and you'll send him $3 in the mail. Like, there's a lot of really small ways to get small quantities of rhizomes.
Okay, cool. I don't know, anything else you can tell us about the process, or how about what went well this year? What went really good this year? How long have you been doing this again? Is this
So
your second year?
this will be our third year.
Okay.
Yep.
How about something that went really well? Anything that went really well this year?
Just the survival rate. I mean, learning from that test yard, that learn by doing, kind of that school of hard knocks, that was really what taught us what we needed to know for the expansion to thrive. I mean, because our initial test yard, we had horrible, horrible plant attrition because we didn't realize so many things, like our irrigation system was faulty. So many plants were dying. Our fertilizer mix was wrong, so a lot of the plants weren't happy. The soil wasn't shaded, so we had a lot of heat death. There was just so many problems that it was really disheartening. But at the same time, like when we built that expansion last summer, we put in 3,200 plants, and of those 3,200, I mean, probably like four died. So we had virtually
Oh.
no death.
Wow, you
That was
learned
what.
a lot quick.
Yeah, I
Okay.
kind of had to.
So then, is there something you're excited to do different this year that's new?
I'm excited to get more kind of hands-on with the plants. Last year was more about construction because we were building kind of the whole facility. We were building all this processing equipment and kind of trying to figure out, all this, how to hook this stuff up electrically. Like, there was a lot of just kind of construction, sort of back end sort of stuff. I'm really more excited this year to get to spend more time just kind of, walking the hop yard, paying more attention individually to the plants, making sure they're getting the right nutrients, and really just seeing them thrive this year. That's what I'm excited about.
So what does your family think of all this? Like, are they like, you rebel? What are you doing changing our land? Or are they like, you go, guy? Like, we're so proud of you and glad you're trying something new.
They've come a long way. It's been kind of mixed. And initially, they thought it was crazy.
They did.
They thought there's no way that this is going to work. They thought there's no, just the sheer everything. I mean, there's so many problems, like the amount of capital it takes to build the infrastructure to grow hops. Like, trellising is very expensive. The specialty irrigation, the fertilizer, like, it's all really very expensive. So that they were like, oh man, you're going to deplete your life savings. And that was what was nice about the grant, was that kind of eased their doubts there. But
So wait,
initially
tell
they'd
me
give
about the
us,
grant. Where'd you get the grant, and what's the grant?
yeah, so based off of kind of back to when we talked to the brewers and we saw that demand, the market needed these hops and they were willing to pay a premium for a local product. When we saw the possibilities and the potential there, it was clear to us that we needed to expand. So we started looking at financing from, banks and kind of the traditional routes. But then we got plugged into the Montana Department of Agriculture. And because of our sort of experience and our success with the test yard, we were able to formulate a plan that said, hey, we have this much money. Will you match it and help us purchase the processing equipment? So before we got the grant, the plan was to only have enough money to buy like the plants and the trellising infrastructure. But when we applied for that and we got that, that's what allowed us to buy the harvester. It's what allowed us to buy our pelletizing and packaging equipment. So now we can just produce a much higher quality product because of that.
Putting them in pellets and packaging, do you sell to like home brewers as well as the breweries? Like, what kind of packages? Like, what, like, in how many breweries? Like, does one brewery take most of what you can produce, or like five breweries, or 10, or I have no idea.
Yeah, so when we talked to initially all those breweries, everyone, and we talked to maybe 30 or 40 breweries, everyone was pretty excited about the idea, but no one really was willing to sit down with us and kind of, have that, like, answer the questions that we had,
Yes.
just like that. Like, hey, what weight, what size of bags, like what varieties, they were willing to kind of answer like cursory questions, but no one was really, committed enough to sit down and continue the conversation with us, except for one brewery, which was super cool because they've been kind of our biggest support and helped us get all this going. And yeah, they're the brewery that has spoken for our crop pretty much, bar none forever. They want to purchase all the hops that we can produce.
Now, how
So
come they're so interested in local hops? Is it
it's
fresher
just
and gives them a better quality product, or they're just the mindset of going local, or because they are frustrated with what they are finding? Like, what's making that
Yeah,
premium?
it's a host of reasons. So primarily, A, working with a local supplier, having the opportunity to come out to the hop yard and have us, be 5 minutes away from the brewery and, kind of a phone call away, that gives them a lot of peace of mind because they know where the product's coming from. They know it's local, they know it's fresh. And a lot of breweries, so they're contracting their hops for years out. And a
Oh.
lot of the hops that they're getting from these hop yards, have been in cold storage for months or a year.
Oh.
So they're getting sometimes year-old product. And, there's a lot of variability in kind of the shipping and, was it kept at a constant temperature and a lot of questions like that. But as well as kind of just a lot of these breweries are becoming more locally minded. They want to support the local economy, they want to support the local farmer. And they want that for their own image too. They want to be seen as a local brewery, in all facets.
So then do you have to worry about storage, or do you pretty much sell your crop out like right when you harvest it?
So that's kind of a special case that we have with the brewery right now worked out, where we typically a hop yard, like a big hop yard, we're talking 400,000 acres, something out in Washington. What they'll do is they will harvest the product and then sell it to a broker, sort of a secondary party. And
Oh.
that party is responsible for then taking the product and distributing it. Whereas, sorry, I lost my train of thought. Can you ask the question again?
I don't know. I didn't write. I can't t For some reason, I can't ever type what I'm saying while I'm talking. But you were saying that like a big place with 400,000 acres, like something out in Washington, will sell it to a broker, and that party is responsible for then taking the product and distributing it. I think I asked about like, do you have to save
Oh yeah, our
your,
storage. Sorry.
yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so for the storage, so yeah, what those brokers will do is they have to store it and then they're responsible for selling it. So they're responsible for finding, some huge temperature controlled warehouse or something like that
Oh.
and then shipping it out from there. But what we're going to do is harvest it and sell it directly to the brewery and then they're responsible for the storage. So they have a bunch of walk-in freezer space that they store hops in already. So we're just going to store it kind of on site basically.
Nice. Okay. Before we get to the root of things, we're going to thank our sponsors and affiliate links. Organifi Green Juice is a gently dried superfood mix that supports health, mental clarity, while detoxifying your body all in one delicious drink. What I love about Organifi, it makes me feel great. It's easy, it doesn't take much time, it's full of nutrients and superfoods that I have a hard time getting anywhere else, and it just tastes delicious. Now, as a teacher, you all know that our time is totally limited. I have kids in my classroom from 7:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night. So just even using this simple thing can be difficult for me, but I can pull it off and so can you. If you want to feel good and get all your greens in a simple, easy drink, remember, you can get a discount as an Organic Gardener podcast listener by entering code OGP16, and Organifi will give you a 15% discount now. So just go to Organifi.com, and when you go to checkout, enter code OGP16, and they'll give you 15% off your order anytime. Did you know that you could support the Organic Gardener podcast without doing anything differently? If you're going to buy something on Amazon.com, since I'm an Amazon affiliate, if you go to Amazon through a link on my page, which every book that is listed on my website is linked to Amazon.com, you don't have to buy that book, but anything you buy that day from Amazon, will give me a very, very small commission. But I gotta tell you, it would sure help pay for, just some of the basics it costs to keep the podcast up there. And now let's get to the root of things, which is kind of like the lightning round of my show. I don't know. Do you listen to a lot of podcasts, or is like this just like a out of the blue thing?
I've listened to a couple podcasts, and I did a podcast actually a couple years ago with a friend of mine for like a couple months, and then it just lost steam. But yeah, I'm a little bit familiar with the concept, yeah.
Was that with the guy from Arrow, Jeff, by any chance? I know he lives in Bozeman.
No, it was just a friend of mine named Coulter. We were doing basically we just did a like I don't know, we only did like 10 or 15 episodes, but we were just doing like an entrepreneurial kind of podcast about we called it Fast Hacks to Fat Stacks. We did like flipping and just a bunch of different little stuff to make money.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I want to say his thing is something about Aussie. He has like some YouTube videos, and he works in tech. Like, do you know the Arrow Foundation? It's Alternative Energy Resource Organization, but they have a big thing on sustainable agriculture. And like there's a guy down in Bozeman that I met when I went to the thing a couple of years ago. Anyway, but you might look into Arrow too, because they're all over the state of Montana. And they're having, well, they have their big annual thing in October. What are we having? We're having this Free the Seeds event in like a month or two. And I always think that's an Arrow thing because the people who run it are all members of Arrow too. Anyway, I'm getting off track. Okay, so anyway, so some podcasts, like at the end, they'll have this thing called the lightning round, where they'll ask like quick questions. So I just call mine Let's Get to the Root of Things, and I put in like my little sponsors in here too. So if we were gonna get to the root of things, my first question would be like, is there a activity that's like your least favorite that you gotta kind of force yourself to get out there and go do?
Weeding.
Okay.
It's the worst.
Do you get a lot of weeds with hops then?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They're
Now,
extremely well, sorry, go ahead.
no, that's all right. I'm like just trying to pick, like, 'cause our hops grows along our fence and stuff like. So do you have like rows, and it's more like a vineyard type of thing?
Yeah, so if you check out our Facebook page, you can see pictures of kind of what it looks like, but it's basically like 600-foot long hedges, like hedgerows of trellis,
Oh.
and then the hops, they grow up that hedge.
Okay. And then on the flip side, so what's your favorite activity to do then?
Harvest, because it just smells so good. I mean, those hop cones, when you
Oh.
break them up in your hands, they smell so good.
Can you just eat them like that though?
No, so how they take the hop cones and then they boil it to get the acids out. And that's what is giving beer its bitterness, is when they boil it. Yep.
Okay. What's the best gardening advice you've ever received?
Probably to pay attention individually to the plants, to treat and not treat like the field as a whole, but to treat kind of the plants as individual, and just kind of try and maximize the yield per plant as opposed to maximize the yield per field.
Oh, that's a good idea. So what's like a tip for maximizing the yield for a hops plant?
Just, oh man, there's like so many little things. I
Oh,
mean,
there are.
making sure, yeah, like making sure the emitters are like right on, right next to the hop, making sure that it's getting the water and fertilizer that it needs. Like if a deer comes running through the field or the wind or something is knocking your drip lines around, it's gonna mess up kind of where the water's going. And so the plant might be underwatered, might be overwatered. That'd be probably the most important one.
How do you do your drip lines? Like, are they just right over the soil still? They're not up in the air, are they?
Nope. So it's just drip tape. So it's not drip
Okay.
tubing. It's like just drip tape, with the emitters molded into it. And then we have two runs of that tape per row of hops with the emitters kind of offset.
I guess I don't really know what an emitter is. I'm just imagining it's like a little sprinkler.
It's actually think of like a tiny little sponge the size of your thumbnail,
Oh.
kind of molded into the plastic. And then that
Oh yeah.
sponge
Okay.
has like a constant seep rate so that it won't just like, it's not like an open hole. It's like, it's got a little bit of impedance, so it won't just let the water rush out.
Nice. So do you have to order that from like a special commercial grower place, or maybe you know about things like that 'cause your parents had a farm?
No, I kind of had to figure that stuff out. There was actually like a company that does like yard kind of lawn work. Irrigation systems, like buried sprinklers and all that kind of stuff, like for big fancy houses, setting up seep lines and all that kind of buried irrigation stuff. So we just kind of talked and worked with them to figure out the best system that would work.
So then is yours buried?
The main line is buried, but the actual
Oh.
drip tape is just on the surface.
Interesting. Okay. How about a favorite tool? Something special you use for hops? Weeding or harvesting? Or, well, you got your harvester.
Yeah, the harvester is super cool. it's really quick, but we have these hand tools that you have to affix that twine into the ground, and you have to go along and stomp all these metal clips into the ground. That's kind of fun.
Oh, okay. Well, I kind of ask a question about a favorite recipe that you cook from the garden. I don't know. Do you have a regular garden? Do you cook anything like that or anything you like to cook? Or we could skip that question.
I mean, the beer that they make out of the hops is super tasty.
Okay, well, what's your favorite kind of beer then?
depends on the season. I like stouts in the winter and I like IPAs in the summer.
Okay. How about a favorite internet resource? Anywhere you go, you find yourself going over and over on the internet you can recommend?
Yeah, we have a couple of Google Drive folders that have been shared with us from like US Hops and the different colleges like the Vermont Extension Service and the Oregon State Extension Service. They've shared a couple of Google Drives with us that have things like nutrient management, pest management, links to suppliers, slideshows from different conferences about the different varieties, anything you can imagine. There's at least a couple things in these Google Drive folders that are just so good to go back to every now and again.
Nice. That's a great resource. Extension agents have definitely been mentioned a lot, but that was pretty specific. How about a favorite book or reading material, a website or a blog or anything?
The Fresh Ops, the guys that we got our rhizomes from, their website is super awesome. They've got a huge section dedicated to like really small like home gardening kind of quantities of hops. They've got a whole section talking about just, how to maximize the yield out of four plants. Something really small.
That's what we need. Cool. Okay. So how about just like, I mean, I know you gave us some, but like any business advice for somebody who was like just starting out maybe on how to get started into the industry? Like, would you start right off by talking to, finding out about the market, or would you start off trying to grow some? Or I guess you said that it really matters on where you live, so maybe that's what you would say.
It's a little bit of a chicken and egg problem. Looking at if you produce hops, it's easy to sell them, but if you have to know which varieties of hops to produce. So, the first step, if you actually want to get into this business, would definitely be, start talking to your local brewer, just, casual conversation. Hey, what kind of hops are in this beer? Just kind of getting to know them, get to know what kind of hops they want, what kind of product they want. And that's a really good baseline.
Okay, so my final question that I like to ask everybody is, Jake, if there's one change you'd like to see to create a greener world, what would it be? For example, is there a charity or organization you're passionate about or project you'd like to see put into action? Like, what do you feel is the most crucial issue facing our planet in regards to the environment, either locally, nationally, or on a global scale?
Oh man, that's quite the question.
I know, and I read it every time.
Jeez, I wasn't
I
expecting
haven't
that.
figured out how to record, because like I know the guy that I listen to, like he records the questions and he's like, but the people hear them, but I haven't figured out how to do that. Like I read my disclaimer every time too.
I would probably say the biggest problem currently that I see is kind of how how disconnected people are from agriculture, how like how removed this, how decentralized it is, or how centralized it is rather. I'm sorry, how centralized agriculture has become, just the sheer amount of, how commercial it's become. Like people just aren't in touch with where, where their food comes from, where their bread, where their meat. You don't know if it's coming from down the street or if it's getting shipped up from, Timbuktu. Like there's no way to know for a lot of people where that local food's coming from or where that food's coming from. And that's what I like to see is, these breweries in particular, they kind of want to see that local product, want to know where it's coming from. You go to farmers markets, you can meet farmers, you can see where it's coming from. But yeah, just I don't know, the global market, how it affects agriculture, it's really scary. I mean, things like, if there's a surplus of wheat in Australia, that drives down the price here for, a guy in Montana. Like that's just really scary to me how globally connected it's become.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, we're definitely big supporters of growing local. That's one of my husband's biggest, like things he wants to solve. He's really into growing our food local. Like that's been his goal all along, just to grow our produce so we can like maybe not totally never have to go to the store, but try to supplement our grocery bill as much as we can and grow as much food as he can for just the two of us and, his kids when they come by or just. And he does always grow a lot of extra, but I still, I eat a lot of veggies, so I'm still in the at the store. Like we haven't got to the point where like I don't have lettuce or spinach or kale or anything growing right now. Like I feel like I should, but we'll get there. All right, well, Jake, do you have maybe like an inspirational tip or quote to help motivate listeners to reach into the dirt and start their own garden?
Learn by doing.
That's a
Go
nice
figure
one.
it out. Just if you want to try it, go figure it out.
All right, and then do you just want to tell listeners how to connect with you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we've got our Facebook page, Crooked Yard Hops. Just search it. Lots of cool pictures on there. If you have any more questions, always happy to help people. If anyone who's in the area, we give tours all summer long. People can swing by and check it out.
All right. Well, Bozeman is certainly a beautiful place. Somehow, like after living in Montana for like 20 years and I'd never been to Bozeman, I've gone there like 3 to 5 times in the last few years, and I'm always just amazed at how beautiful it is. And what I love about Bozeman is how accessible it seems like the mountains are. You can go south, you can go east, you can go north, you can go west. In every direction, there's somewhere really cool to go check out some different woods. So,
And we have the best breweries, so.
Okay, cool. And the Rocky Mountain Museum's there. And one of my favorite podcasts you might like to check out are these two chicks, the Montana Road Tripping Girls. They kind of like just did one season, a season and a half. They didn't do very many episodes, but you listen to them over and over. If you're coming to Montana or you just anywhere you live, you want to get in the mood to go on a road trip, these girls will have you laughing. And they just talk about some places in Montana I've never heard of. And just, I love to listen to them, Dee and Jules. And they're out of Bozeman. So, well, thanks so much, Jake, for talking with me. And I'll let you know when this gets posted.
Yeah, this has been really fun. This is cool.
Thanks. If you know somebody who would benefit from the Organic Gardener podcast, we would just love it if you would share it with a friend. Thanks again for listening, and remember to grow.